It is very good to be here with you. Having been gone last week, I mentioned the class that we had a wonderful worship service where we were in Logan, Utah last week, and it was good, and it's even better to be back here with you. I always miss being here at Ephesus when I'm not here. I really appreciate all of you, love you all, and just means so much to be able to be with you. Appreciate those that join us online, and always want to mention that, and we are glad to have you. In the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, I'm not going to be using the overhead today. So, as Matt said, just put your minds back a few years like we used to do it, and we're going to preach without it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there in verse 35, Paul says, someone will say, how are the dead raised? And so this morning I want us to talk about that question, how are the dead raised? And then he asks another question, says, with what kind of body do they come? And interestingly then, his first response is, you fool. If we put that in our modern vernacular, he would ask the question and then he would say, that's a stupid question. Why'd you bother to ask that? But I don't think that Paul is ridiculing the people for asking the question. I don't think that he's saying that they're foolish for asking the question. But I think what he's saying is, you're foolish because you don't understand already the answer to the question. Given your spiritual teaching, you should know what the answer is without having to ask it. And yet, if these people, these Christians in this day and time that this was written, ask that question, then it's no wonder that so many people today ask the same question. And very often, people will ask me about things. They'll say, okay, what happens when you die? How is the resurrection going to be? What's going to take place? And they have all these questions, and it's just natural that we have a certain number of questions about what happens when this life is over. And yet, there are not a lot of real clear, in my mind at least, not a lot of real clear answers for a lot of the things that people ask questions about. But I do think that what Paul is saying here is, first of all, that we must die to live. If you look at what he says, you fool, verse 36, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. You go out and you sow a grain of seed of some kind, and while it does not produce a seed per se, maybe eventually, it has to die first, and then it begins to grow. And so he says, if you really want to live and have life, then you've got to die first. So why do we dread dying? Why is it that we spend all of our life's earnings to keep from dying? Why is it we travel all over the United States and maybe even the world to try to find solutions to whatever is our problem so that we don't die? I think there are a lot of reasons, and I think it's quite natural. I'm not saying that that's bad or wrong. I think we enjoy this life, number one. I think number two, we hate to leave and maybe the people we love, or maybe we hate for them to be left without us, or maybe there's things we plan to do and we haven't accomplished. I remember my mother at the age of 85, she said, one day she said, I can't die too soon because I've still got 10 years worth of work planned that I want to get done. But the problem was, when she was 95 and she did pass away, she still had another 10 years worth of work planned that she wanted to get done. She wasn't ready to die. And so I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with the idea that we don't want to die. And certainly if I get sick, I go to the doctor and I try to find out what's wrong and not die from it. And yet at the same time, there should be that part of us that regards death, even as Paul did, and say, if I live, it's good for you, but if I die, I'm better off. And so as we look at life, we need to understand that if we're going to really live eternally, that it is necessary for us to die. And as we look at that, we know it is because God has something that is far better than anything this life has to offer. The Apostle Paul said, I look at the things in our reading this morning from Romans 8. He said, I look at the suffering that I face today, and I look at all the problems I have today, and we look at the sickness, and we look at the illness, and we look at all of the turmoil in the world. And he said, all of that doesn't even begin to measure with the glory of being with God in heaven. It doesn't even come close. And so we need to have this anticipation of going to be with God in heaven. In verse 37, he says, that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat, or something else. And so you sow it, but then it is raised to live. And then beginning in verse 35, or going back to verse 35, and let's read through verse 41. So we get the continuity. Someone will say, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. That which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body, just as He wished. And to each of the seeds, a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of birds, another of fish. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly body is one. The glory of the earthly is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. And so he says, yes, there's going to be all kinds of bodies that we see in this life, but the point that he's making is, he says here that we are raised, or we are sown perishable, but we are raised imperishable. Look at verse 42. So also the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised imperishable. Perishable means that it rots. It means that it deteriorates. But Paul says the body that is sown in this earth, yes, it's going to decay. But he says when we go to be with the Lord, we will have an imperishable body. This body is sown or it is buried in dishonor. That is, it is weak. It perhaps has all kinds of problems. And it dies. But he says it is raised in honor. Raised in glory. We are given a new glorious body that is like the glory of our Lord. He said it is sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, but it's raised a spiritual body. And so when we are raised from the dead, it's not going to be a physical body, flesh and blood like we see today. But it's going to be a spiritual body, even as God is spirit. And so it will be one that does not have all of the limitations that our bodies have. It is one that is not going to be hampered with all of the weaknesses and all of the problems that we have today. Because he says in verse 50, I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. You see, we have to give up this fleshly body in order to have that spiritual body. to go and to be with God in eternity. But the fact is, all of us face the end of this life. We read a verse that very often in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 where he says, it's appointed man wants to die and after this comes the judgment. And what we say very often, we'll say, you know, that there's one thing for sure, that we're going to all die. But the fact is, Paul says here that we may not all die. In verse 51, he says, I'll tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. And what he's saying here is that when Jesus comes again to take those that are His, the dead will be raised. But he says those who are alive will be caught up with Him in the air, and we will be given a new, imperishable, glorious body that is filled with power. We all will be changed. And he's talking here to those who are children of God. He's talking to those who are Christians, those who are saved, those whose sins are forgiven. And he says all of us are going to be given this new glorious body so that we can be with the Lord in the air. In verse 53, for this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so he says, if we are in Jesus Christ, that we have something to look forward to. And whether we die and we are buried in the ground, as is the custom today and has been through the ages, or if we are alive when the Lord comes, he says that we will be changed and we will be given that new glorious body. And so the victory is for those who are in Jesus Christ. In verse 54 he says, when this perishable must have put on the imperishable, this mortal will have put on the immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O death, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. In other words, if we are outside of Jesus Christ and we die, then we're lost. And death has its victory. But if we are in Christ, and our sins are forgiven, then when we die, we are changed and given this glorious body and we have this new home in heaven with God when He comes again. And so He says there is no victory for death, but He says, verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's necessary then when the Lord comes or when we face death, whichever comes first, it's necessary for us to be ready to meet the Lord by being in Jesus Christ. Death hurts. When we lose somebody that we love, it does hurt. And none of this takes away the fact that it does hurt us. But you see, there's coming a time when we're going to have something that is so much better if we're in Christ. In the book of Revelation in chapter 21, beginning in verse 3, John writes, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I'm making all things new. And he said, Write, for these things, these words are faithful and true. If you want something you can count on, you read that passage of Scripture and you can count on the fact that if you will give your life to God through Jesus Christ, and as a Christian you will serve Him and live for Him faithfully, then when this life ends, whether it ends in death or it ends because the Lord comes again, you will have a promise of that new body, that new life, that eternal home with God in heaven. And so going back to 1 Corinthians 15, he ends that chapter in verse 58 by saying, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Have you ever been involved in a task and about halfway through it you look at it and you think, man, is this really worth all this trouble? You know, most of us have at one time or another. We get involved in something and we look back and it may be a short project or it may be a long one. And we look back and we look at it and we wonder, you know, maybe I'll just quit. I'll just give up. And sometimes the Christian life is like that. And we're living and we're trying to do what's right. And we get sidetracked with all the problems in life. And we have all of the things that distract us. And sometimes we look at it and we just wonder, you know, is it really worth living for God? Is it really worth being a Christian and trying to live the way God wants me to live? And do the things He wants me to do and have the attitude He wants me to have? Is it really worth it? The answer is absolutely. Yes, it is. He says it is the victory in Jesus Christ if we will just be faithful and live for Him and serve Him. The poet once wrote, Of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, It might have been. When you face God in judgment, one thing is for sure. Everybody that hears my voice today has been given an opportunity to be a child of God. You have been given an opportunity to have your sins forgiven. You have been given an opportunity to accept a promise of heaven. But there are some of you who have never reached out to the loving hand of God and accepted that promise. Don't face God with it might have been. If you're hearing your subject to His invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.